Servant Institute.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Sounds like it's a tie to me and we're going into overtime. Praise God. Amen. He doesn't realize what he just done. I mean, when he hollered fourth quarter, that put me in high gear. Just habit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. See if you can keep up with me tonight. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Brother Timmy, you're sitting right there. Come pass out the handouts. And Brother Isaac, you're sitting right there. Come pass out some ink pens for all those that need ink pens tonight. Now, if you're not trustworthy with an ink pen, then we'll see if we can find a pencil, maybe a crayon. We don't want you marking on anything but your handout, okay? Praise our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Sister Pepper was making mention, you know, the Bible does declare that we are servants of the Lord. Whether we realize it or not, we are servants of the Lord. There's no way we can get around it. But the title Serious Servants Institute is something that we've added to it to help encourage ourselves to the reality of the seriousness of that heavenly calling. And it is a call to the ministry of reconciliation. Once again, the ministry of reconciliation is helping men and women to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We're living in an hour where this is a very, very difficult task. It's not because there's not people that aren't in need of salvation, but we have an abundance of people that do not realize they need salvation. We have an abundance of people that have this misunderstanding and this deception that as long as they read their Bible from time to time, pray from time to time, maybe go to church from time to time, they'll be okay. It's a form of religion. It's a form of deception. It's just not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the truth of Jesus Christ. And mind frames are in such a form in this hour where no one wants to even think about it. Think. Here you go. Praise the Lord. How many student alumni remember in ACE Paces that you would come to a portion in that pace where it said, think? I've had a multitude of students that had meltdowns when they came to that portion. Think. I can't do that. Praise God. Well, they learned. Possibly, maybe. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, I just seen a typo. How many seen the typo in Philippians 2 and 5? Yeah. I've just copied and pasted that. That's been a typo now for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. How many seen that? Besides tonight. Yeah. Because it's been that way for 4 weeks. I just saw it tonight also. Let's go to Pup 2 and 5. Philippians 2 and 5. Of course, it's up there on the screen, and I didn't even leave it blank for you tonight because I have a lot of other blanks and a lot of other scripture readings we're going to do tonight. But just want to run through it. Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he didn't go around bragging on himself all the time. Made of himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. As Brother Robert was testifying, he has done so much for you and I. Hallelujah. He has purchased this great salvation for you and I. He has humbled himself, obedient to death, the death of the cross. He could hang there and in his final moments cry, "It is finished." Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's finished. Praise the Lord. Amen. The salvation. Once again, a servant, person or male, male or female, that attends another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him. One is employed by another for such offices or for other labor and is subject to his command. The word is correlative to master. Servant differs from slave as a servant's subjection to a master is voluntary. Voluntary. The slave is not. Every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave. And what I've put together here tonight has come from Brother William Hill's teaching on the servant's heart. Amen. He taught on this at convocation, if I remember correctly, the first time that I heard him speak on this. It comes from a teaching that he did called Tools for the Harvest. And this was one of the messages in that series. There was four messages in that series. And this was one of them, the servant's heart. It's the heart of the matter. Hallelujah. How many realize that God looks upon the heart? And we're not using that for an excuse to live unholy or unrighteous. We realize God looks past all the facades. God looks past all putting on face. And God sees the intent of the heart, the attitude of the heart, the desire of the heart. And that's how God begins to deal with us and work with us and draw upon us to change the heart. Because when Jesus Christ came in, we were born again by the Spirit of God, and Jesus Christ came in, there was a cleansing of our heart. It became pure, it became holy, it became sanctified, it became new, and a new creature was created, and we got new desires, but you have to maintain that. You have to pursue that fellowship with God. You've got to pursue that growing, going on to know the Lord and growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here tonight we're going to deal with the servant's heart. In Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27, imagine this, if you will, in your minds. This comes right out of the scriptures in the Gospels. And there was also a strife among them. What? The disciples having some difficulties with one another? Surely not. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Wow. What difference does it make? Well, that's a good question because there's a lot of people that struggle with that problem. Who's going to be the greatest? Well, is it the one that does this? Is it the one that does this? Well, what about him? Or what about him? What about him? And so Jesus Christ immediately begins to bring the truth to the matter. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, all right, write this down, underline it. I didn't leave a blank here or anything, but this is just up to you to remember. But he that is greatest among, do you want to be great? Or do you want to settle for mediocre? Do you want to be great? Well, here's how. Let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. In other words, greatness in God's eyes is found in a servant's heart. Not in how well you have achieved something or how many things you may have done for him. Greatness in God's eyes is a servant's heart. Hallelujah. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am, there's your first blank, I am, I like that term, I am, praise God. They fell backwards when Jesus said that. What did it do for you?
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I am among you as he that is greatest.
Well, yeah, in a sense, because I'm among you as he that serveth. And that's greatness.
Praise God. Hallelujah. See, that he said it like that so the disciples could realize the error of their ways of trying to decide who was the greatest among the disciples. Well, it's not going to be Matthew. He's a publican. Are you getting the picture? They were human beings. They were men. Hallelujah. Peter always liked to tell John, I can outrun you. But when it came to resurrection day, who outran who?
Praise God. They were just men, mortal men, just like you and I. And they were trying to figure out who was the greatest. And we'll get to some more of that here in just a little bit. Praise the Lord. John. Let's read John chapter 13. I didn't put all these scriptures down on the handout. Just didn't have room because you know how I am. If I've got three or four pages of notes, you're in trouble. So I didn't put the scriptures here because if I put the scriptures here on this piece of paper, I'd have that many pages, and that just kicks something into my mind. It's an hour per page. And John chapter 13. I mean, it's humorous. Maybe it's not humorous. I don't know. My first message I ever preached. And my children know this, and if you've been around in church with us, the Sheltons know this. My first message I ever preached when God called me to preach there at Victory Temple, I preached for 45 minutes. And I thought I'd better stop. And what I preached on was the sluggard. Amen. That's been a long time ago. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I had taught Sunday school previous to that, so I'd already had that opportunity to talk for a while. Praise the Lord. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Somebody want to find that? I'm going to read that for us. Anybody want to volunteer? Sister Lindsay. Oh, I'm sorry. She raised her hand first. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17.
Praise the Lord. Happy are ye
if you do them. Praise the Lord. Don't you want to be happy? Praise our God. Then doing the will of the Lord, being a servant, not just being a servant, because that's what we're after here tonight, but having a servant's heart. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at this scene. Now, Brother Hill, when he was teaching this, preaching this, he said, here's our Lord and our Master having dinner with his disciples that had dirty feet. But what I want to look at is the room was ready. The meal was prepared. Everything had been provided. That was a miracle, even this feast of the Passover and the place they were having it was all provided by God. Yes, it was done through human beings, but God had orchestrated it and already moved upon hearts. And so everything was done. And get it, the room was ready. The meal was prepared. Everything was provided. But no one was willing to wash the disciples' feet. That was just a common courtesy that was normally done at some type, at this type of gathering. I mean, the old foot washings. Really, they're a type, they're a symbol, and they are very humbling. I've partook in one, and actually I instigated one. I went up to the Ozark Bible Institute and did a devotion for all the students in the men's dorm. And we did a foot washing in that meeting, and it helped a lot of those young men, and it helped me. And it was just a wonderful time of the Lord. But really, in reality, their disciples' feet really needed to be washed. They were dirty because they wore sandals. They walked everywhere they went. And it was just something that was normally done, but nobody had done it. No one had offered. No one took it upon themselves. Oh, guys, we haven't washed our feet yet. Why? Well, they were still walking around trying to decide who was the greatest. Well, you know, why don't he wash the feet? Why do I have to wash the feet? You know, I mean, we're going to get to all that here in a minute too, but here they are. Nobody was willing to wash disciples' feet. The disciples had learned to pray. They had cast out devils. They had healed the sick. But they had not learned to be a servant and had not had a servant's heart yet. So you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do great things for God and still not have a servant's heart. A servant's heart is what is going to take you all the way through anything and everything that comes against your life and take you all the way to the portals of glory. Hallelujah. Because you're not in it for what's in it for you. You're in it to serve your God. Hallelujah. And that makes all the difference in the whole wide world. Praise God. There's been a lot of churches that have been pioneered, and they've been pioneered for the wrong reason. They've been pioneered for numbers, to build a big congregation. But then there's been a lot of churches that have been pioneered, and they've been pioneered to generate servants' hearts. Those are the ones that are still going. Because that's what it's going to take to make it all the way to the end. Praise God, a servant's heart. So here they are. They had done some great things, some mighty things. No wonder. You know, when they came back, they were rejoicing that the devils fled. The sick were healed. The lame walked again. And you remember what Jesus told them? It's not in the notes here, but he said, don't rejoice about these things. Rejoice that your name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Rejoice in what has been done for you and what God's created in you. And what is that that God creates? A servant's heart. And we've got to guard it with all of our might and all of our strength. Hallelujah. So here we are. Serving is designed to deal with pride and ambition. Yeah. In Proverbs 19:3 says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." I've put definitions in parentheses under foolishness. The selfishness of a man perverteth his way. In other words, makes a man go the wrong direction, do the wrong things. Selfishness is always a problem if we don't maintain the servant's heart. And then you find that the foolishness of a man perverts his way, and then he turns around and blames God when things go wrong. And that's what it says. "And his heart fretteth against the Lord." Angry. Yeah. See, those that do not maintain the servant's heart are actually living a selfish life for God. And then when it seems like God's not doing what they want him to do, then they become angry at God. And the whole problem is they've lost their first love. See, that's what a servant's heart's all about. They've lost that first love, and they become self-led and self-desires, self-ambitions. What is that? That pride. Pride begins to dominate their lives. A servant's heart is one that wants God to get the glory, not self. A servant's heart rejoices with those that are rejoicing. A servant's heart applauds those that are awarded for things they have done, instead of becoming envious, jealous. See, that's pride and ambition. But a servant's heart will rejoice with those that are rejoicing, will weep with those that are weeping. They will be there for every circumstance, situation, and they will always be there to encourage, lift up, promote. Praise God. Even if it means they might lose their position. Hallelujah. Because they're not worried about getting the praise nor the glory. They're worrying about doing what's right in the sight of God. That's a servant's heart. Proverbs 13:10. "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Praise the Lord. How are we going to get well-advised? God's Word. God's Word. This is why I tell my students continually, it is very important that you learn how to read, you learn how to read well, you learn how to comprehend what you read. Because your source of God is found in reading. It's found in reading. Hallelujah. Reading God's Word, listening to God's Word, hearing the Spirit of God is part of it, but the Holy Ghost will only quicken what is truth. Praise God. The Holy Ghost can only lead in what has been revealed in God's Word. And that's why it's so important to be in the Word, to read the Word, and listening when the Word is preached. Praise God. All right, Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 24. Somebody find that. All right, Sister Pepper. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 and 24.
Why were the other 10 disciples moved with indignation? They had their own desires, their own preconceived ideas, their own ambitions produced by their pride. So a servant's heart would have said, yeah, that's a great idea. James on one side and John on the other. And then we'll be wherever we need to be. Because it's just a joy serving God, no matter where we're at. See, that's a servant's heart. You know, here's the proverbial. Well, what made them special? Why do they get to do that? Why can't I do that? You just answered the question. Sometimes we don't pay attention to what's as plain as the nose on our face. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. It's difficult, but yet we've got to see, we've got to understand, a servant's heart is where it's at. I mean, Jesus Christ didn't come to do his own will. Came to do the Father's. That's why he's the perfect example of the servant's heart. But then you and I are taught and trained by Jesus Christ, by the Word of God, by the apostles as they have written the Word of God. We are trained and taught to become servants of the Lord, but we got to realize that's not going to make it happen just by trying to make ourselves become a servant of the Lord without a servant's heart. Without a servant's heart. See, we've got to have the very heart of the matter, the very root. We're back to, you know, planted and rooted and grounded. Hallelujah. To grow forth and produce fruit. You know, so the servant's heart, it's not an option. It's a must. It's something that must be maintained, and there must be growth in a servant's heart. I don't know whether you can remember it or not, but you know, when you first met Jesus Christ and you were born again by the Spirit of God and your life changed, you loved everybody. You wanted to do anything and everything that you could do to help anybody, help your pastor, help the church. I mean, you just had a great desire, an overwhelming thanksgiving in your heart and in your soul for everything God had done for you, and you just wanted to help everybody. Am I correct? Where'd it go? What happens to that? Where does all the murmuring and the complaining and all those things, where's that come from that person that had so much joy, so much peace, so much happiness, and wanted to help everybody, love everybody, and overlook everybody? Where'd that go? Why does it get replaced with criticalness and despising and griping and complaining? There ain't nothing about any of that that's a servant's heart. A servant's heart? Where'd all that go? I don't know. That's what we're here to find out. What are some qualities of a servant's heart? John chapter 10, verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Praise our God. Now, I've been raised on a farm. Brother Charles, he knows about cattle. You know, cattle, we used to drive cattle. We've drove cattle on foot. We've drove cattle on horses. We've drove cattle on motorcycles. We've drove cattle on four-wheelers. But we finally come to the great conclusion and the understanding, if we really want cattle to go where we want them, we let them follow the feed truck. I'm serious.
You know, I mean, since I was probably 12 years old, I've chased cattle on foot, got a little older, chased them on a horse, chased them on the motorcycles, little 100 motorcycles, then on three-wheelers and four-wheelers. And then finally we come up to this great understanding of reality. If we'll just drive in front of them and start feeding them in the pen for 2 or 3 weeks, then you just take them into the pen, feed them, and you close the gate, and you've got them. My sheep know my voice, and I know them. Catch that. Timmy, he knows you. Grant, he knows you. And I know them. And they follow me. I've never dealt with sheep. I've never dealt with goats. I have dealt with a pig or two. And I have found out the best way to get a pig to go where you want a pig to go is put a bucket over their head and drive them that way backwards, and they'll go anywhere you want them to go. So don't make God put a bucket over your head. Make you go where he wants you to go. Go ahead and be a good sheep. Hear his voice and follow. That's what a servant's heart does. They are very, very serious about knowing the voice of their master and following the voice of this great shepherd. Hallelujah. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 2. Second Kings chapter 2. Verses 1 through 14. Anybody want to read that for us tonight? Give you an opportunity. All right, Brother Jason. Praise God. That is an awesome story, isn't it? I mean, there's just so much in this portion of Scripture, in this story of Elijah and Elisha.
and the reality here, this is the quality of a servant's heart. Elisha was a truly committed, dedicated follower of Elijah, the man of God. I mean, it shows forth his loyalty to Elijah. It shows forth his seriousness about being Elijah's servant. Number one, and this is something you want to jot down to the side, because this ain't in the notes here, but it's here it comes. Number one, he knew Elijah was departing today. But he did not allow his sorrow, his grief, he did not allow discouragement or depression cloud his mind. But he wanted to make sure that he was with his mentor all the way to the end. And so every time Elijah tried to get him to stay, he said, no, I'm going with you. What was he saying? I've been with you all the way up to this point, and I am not leaving you right now. Whoa. There it is. I'm not leaving you right now. I am going all the way to the end. There's something I noticed here as I was reading this, and it just kind of popped into my mind. There was three opportunities that Elisha had to allow his emotions to defeat him. Each time Elijah said, why don't you just stay here? He could have just stayed there. And he could have moped around in self-pity and any other type of emotion that would overcome him or attack him. But he said, no, I'm going with you. Wherever you go, I'm going. He had three opportunities to allow anything to hinder and stop his total dedication. It reminded me of when Jesus was walking with Peter, and he asked Peter three times, do you love me? Three times, Elisha really tested his dedication. Three times, Jesus questioned the dedication of Peter. But Elisha stayed true. A servant and the qualities of a servant's heart are faithful to follow their leader or mentor and be dedicated to the cause. They want to give and serve in the church, not just get from the church. There's always going to be those that come. As a matter of fact, probably most those that come and are new converts, they're just going to receive. But sooner or later, new converts become serious servants. Or they should, or they better. Because if they don't, then they're not following on to know the Lord. This is one of the biggest major problems with a mega church. As you may get them in there by the droves, they may even get converted, but there's no room for them to become servants. There's no place to serve. There's too many. I don't really believe that a mega church is God's idea of the church. Even in the book of Acts, God had to send calamity to get them to disperse. They all just wanted to sit there together. That's not what God wanted. He wanted them to. Hallelujah. There's going to be bodies of believers, and it can be large bodies of believers. And actually, the more believers that you have that are serious servants, the more a church can do. I understand that. But the mega churches aren't even after that.
They're just after the numbers. God's after servants. God's after servants.
Now, there are some wrong ways of serving.
Oh, really?
You mean just not all serving's good? Mm-mm, not at all. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. Somebody want to get that for us and read that for us? Looking for hands. Looking for eyeballs. Can you find it? All right. Grant's going to find Matthew 21, verses 28 and 30-32. When you find it, stand up and read it. Matthew 21, 28-32. All right. Praise the Lord. A person cannot serve at their own convenience. A servant's heart has nothing to do with convenience, but with conviction. Dedicated to serve the Lord, no matter how inconvenient it is. Now, I want to stop right here. How many love to be inconvenienced? I mean, you know, this is one of those tight but it's right circumstances, because inconveniences mess us up quickly. But we've got to learn not to allow inconveniences to mess us up so quickly. Because a servant's heart, it's not a matter of how inconvenience it is. Is it a matter of what the Lord wants done? I realize there's inconveniences of life that kind of upset our apple carts. It has nothing to do with spirituality. But yet, in the sense, you got to realize everything we do in life, we're becoming an example to all those that are around us. And if inconveniences quickly agitate us, then there's probably room for growth in that area, and we need to make it a matter of growth in that area and not just shove it off. Well, everybody has those moments. Well, it doesn't make any difference if everybody has those moments. Does God want you to have that moment? And that's, we've got to be, this is where, serious about the circumstances of life when they arrive. Because really, a servant's heart is not tested so much in a church service and where the Spirit of God is flowing freely. A servant's heart is put to the test out among the world and the world's influences and the inconveniences of life. And so we see then, I mean, Jesus, he didn't do all of his ministry in the temple. He didn't do all of his ministry in the synagogues. though he did minister in the temple, he did minister in the synagogues, he ministered greatly out among the people. And he was weary multitudes of times, and there was great inconveniences multitudes of times. Oh, my. But then he'd just pray, and the five loaves and fishes fed thousands. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, I mean, why I'm grinning so big, when these inconveniences come, do we even think about praying to turn it into a miracle? Or do we just gripe and complain? Wow. Oh, Brother Pepper, you're hammering us. You're just killing us. Yeah, I'm on the receiving end of that. Yeah, I'm just human just like you, and these are real circumstances. And, I mean, you know, real circumstances and situations. Let's move on to Luke, maybe to get better. Luke chapter 15, verses 25 through 28. Who wants to read that in for us? All right, go ahead, Sister Lindsay. Here's another one. Here's the prodigal son's brother. He's not real happy the prodigal has come home. Oh. He's got more of the mind frame, well, he got what he deserved. Careful. That's not a servant's heart. But he was serving reluctantly. In other words, his excuse for his anger. But Father, I've been here the whole time. I've worked hard. I've done this. 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 Are you catching the eye yet? And you never thrown me a party. Wasn't a servant's heart, was it? And he was serving out of the wrong motivation. He was proverbially serving, well, I'm the only one here, I have to serve. Now, you know, we could have put an end very rapidly to the pioneering of Calvary Lighthouse Church had we taken up an attitude like him. My, I'm the only one here, and I'm the only one doing anything. I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this. Why isn't there somebody else doing something? Whew. Maybe you felt like that. I don't know. You know, there's only seven of us, you know, and and maybe we felt like that from time to time, but that's not really how we operated, and that's not how we sustained, because we were doing it with joy. Because we knew it was what God wanted done. And we knew that in time God would provide, God would add the increase, and God would take care. Hallelujah. And so we weren't worried about being the only ones doing it. We were doing it because we loved him. Now maybe Jason and Sarah were doing it because they had to, but praise God, they got over that sooner or later. Yeah, son, pick that up. Yeah, but pack that up, pack that up, pack that up. Don't forget that. Yeah, praise God. But see, the prodigal son, brother, he did not have a servant's heart. He could not rejoice with those that were rejoicing because, well, he was despising them. And he was basically selfish. You know, we're going to get to some more of that here.
2 Kings 5, 20 and 27. We won't even have to read that one. I think everybody knows that story. Anybody in here don't know the story of Gehazi? Gehazi was now Elisha's servant. And Elisha sent away Naaman and told Naaman, no, we don't need anything for what God's done for you. But Gehazi went running after and said, well, we might take a little bit of it. Yeah, so Gehazi served hypocritically. He despised his master's authority and his master's decision. And of course, Gehazi, just to give you the rest of the story, because of his lack of a servant's heart and because he would not really maintain dedication to the man of God, the leprosy that God had healed Naaman of came on Gehazi. It's a serious thing, you know. Most folks don't think a lot of things are serious anymore, but the Bible's very plain. You reap what you sow. God's no respecter of persons, and so that's why we've got to be very, very serious about how we're sowing our lives, because there's coming a day of reaping. And if we're sowing to the flesh or sowing to selfishness, maybe that'll bring some clarity to it. Sowing for selfishness, then all we're going to get back is loneliness later, because ain't nobody going to want to be around us. So we got to stop and think, why are people not wanting to be around me? Ding, 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 ding. How are you treating them? How are you acting? Is it always about you, or do you always put others first? Ding, 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 ding. We've got to survey. We've got to look in the mirror. We've got to make sure we've got a servant's heart. And we are out to help others. And ourselves, God will take care of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so in Luke chapter 10, in verse number 38 and 40, just for the sake of time, this is Mary and Martha. And Mary's went to sit at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's left in the kitchen. Oh, have you ever been there? Oh, well, then hang on or plug your ears. You ain't going to like what I'm about to tell you. Woo! Martha had the poor little old me spirit. I'm the only one doing anything syndrome. Woo! What Martha was doing was a great thing. She was in the kitchen. She was taking care of things. She was preparing dinner. What Mary was doing was a great thing. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Both of them were great things to do. Mary didn't get any reproving because Mary still had a servant's heart in what she was doing. But Martha got the reproving because she had lost her servant's heart. She was now envious of Mary, and she was now mad at Mary because she felt like, now she's just left me to do everything instead of doing everything that was left unto her with joy unto the Lord. Sometimes that's the hard times when it's actually true. You are the only one doing anything. But don't get a wrong attitude when you are. Maintain that servant's heart and that you are doing it for the Lord, regardless if anybody's helping you or not. That's the hard times to maintain a servant's heart when everybody else is sitting on their duff, they're talking, they're not lifting a finger, and you're the only one doing anything. Anybody ever been there besides me? Hallelujah. So let's all try to maintain a servant's heart, and let's look around. If somebody's doing something, there's more work to be done. Let's arise and let's enter in and let's get it all done together. Praise God. And then we can all sit down and talk. Write that one down in the side of your notes there and pin it on your refrigerator and bring it with you to church when Sunday dinner comes around. I'm just going to go ahead and say it, especially you men, because you just sit around and talk all the time, and there's plenty of work you could be doing too. I want a servant's heart. Oh.
Hallelujah. Praise our God. Amen. In John chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, let's read John chapter 12, 1 through 6. You need to read, you need to hear this, you need to read this, you need to review this, I need to review this. I'm not just pointing this at you, but it's just, it shows forth that even right in the midst of mighty things that are happening for God, people can be so selfish. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. I'll just go ahead and read this one. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Praise be to God. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment, or the aroma. It smelled good, it didn't stink. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Here's your complainer. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Whoa. This shows forth why Judas betrayed Jesus. Because he did not have a servant's heart. And he served with a selfish and or, I didn't say and, I said or, a selfish or evil motive. Because I want you to understand selfishness is evil. Because if it's not goodness and it's not godliness, it's evil. And we just like to say, oh, well, I was just being selfish. Well, you need to just put that word out of your vocabulary, and you need to go ahead and say it like it is. You were just being evil. Mm-hmm. I said it like that. Evil. Because sometimes we don't take it serious. We just excuse ourselves. Here's the excuse. Well, everybody's doing it. I don't think everybody was being like Judas around that table. I don't think everybody was as selfish as Judas. Judas had his own ambitions, his own preconceived ideas, and when Jesus Christ was not fulfilling what he thought ought to be done, that's what sparked and gave room for the enemy, Satan, to come in and have Judas betray him. Because Jesus wasn't doing it like Judas thought he should. Be careful. Don't let that mind frame get in your head. Just because somebody's not doing it like you would do it, doesn't mean they're not doing it right. Praise God. And so Judas was... See, these are wrong ways of serving, is what we've just discussed. So here was Judas serving Jesus, but yet he had underlying selfish evil motives. And actually John called him a thief. And so we see here then, just doing things that are good doesn't mean we have a servant's heart. The only way we're going to know that we have a servant's heart is when that servant's heart is tested and we go ahead and maintain that allegiance to Jesus Christ. And that allegiance to the brethren, to the sisters, of loving them, love one another, esteeming others greater than ourselves. That's all fruit of a servant's heart. Hallelujah. And the reality, it's just Christ-likeness. Right ways of serving. Genesis 41, 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Here's Joseph. How many remember the story of Joseph? Joseph in the coat of many colors. Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. Joseph was an excellent servant of Potiphar, but then he was betrayed by Potiphar's wife. He was sent to prison, and there he rose up, and there in the prison he was put over everything in the prison and became a servant of the keeper of the jailhouse, and he was an excellent servant. Hallelujah. And so, you know, here we are. Here's Joseph, and he has everything going on that is right about being a servant in the midst of some of the hardest circumstances and situations. And he still maintained a servant's heart. Joseph had served in whatever capacity or situation he had been placed in, even though he was mistreated and forgotten. He still honored God by being a servant and having a servant's heart. And now he's 30 years old. And so from the time he was a teenager, I can't put an age on how old he was when he got sold. I had that at one point in time, but he was a young teenager. You know, that'd be like Timmy selling Isaac into slavery. How much? I mean, how would that make you feel, Isaac? Fine, yeah. good response. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, Joseph was young. He was ambitious. He wasn't real smart. That's him teenage years. You realize that, right? And he said a lot of things he should have kept quiet about. He just didn't understand or know any better. But he got sold into slavery, but he did not allow it to drive him into despair, depression. Once again, his emotions didn't overcome him. His faith in God sustained him. And so whatever situation he was put in, he gave his best for his God, which meant he gave his best for where he was at. So wherever he was at, they were benefited by Joseph's servant's heart. Potiphar's house was blessed. He was the one that was ignorant. He should have never listened to his wife in that circumstance. He should have had more understanding of how well Joseph had served him. But anyway, that's another story. So now he's in prison. Does he go sit in a corner somewhere and wish he could die? We don't find that anywhere. We find that he just picked up serving there and did whatever he could there. And he ended up being over the whole place there too. I'm saying all that to get you an understanding. Greatness. Be faithful in a few things, and then you will be exalted. That's Christ. That's his teachings. He's the greatest is a servant of all. And so because of Joseph's faithfulness to God, maintaining a servant's heart, he's now riding second chariot at the age of 30 to the Pharaoh of Egypt. And as the story goes on, you see that he still maintained his servant's heart, even though now he was in a place of prestige, a place of honor, a place of pomp, a place of majesty, if you will. And at the move of his hand, he could have had all of his brothers thrown in prison. But he still had a servant's heart. He didn't want them thrown in prison. He wanted to see if they had had a change of heart. And of course, we know the whole rest of the story is God preserved the nation of Israel through Joseph, just like God had given him the dreams. Hallelujah. So we see here then a servant's heart is always a plus. It's never a negative. It's always a plus. You can't go wrong maintaining a servant's heart and keeping that heart humble and tender before God and before man. It's always a plus. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Thank you, Jesus. In 1 Samuel, we're going to close with this one. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 6 through 7. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." That's great faith on Jonathan's part. And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Dedication. No matter what the cause, I'm with you. No matter what you feel like that God's going to do, I'm with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And of course, the rest of that story is they went over there and there was a great defeat and God turned it all around by Jonathan and this armor bearer. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, whoo, man. Glory to the King. Let me just share just a little bit here of what I learned about an armor bearer. He wasn't just a kid that stood there and watched. He was the armor bearer. In other words, he had weapons and different things that Jonathan might need. But he was the one that come along and cleaned up. Jonathan's going down through there. You got to realize in that day and that hour, there were honorable warfare. I mean, in other words, it wasn't just 15 men on Jonathan. It was one at a time. Hand-to-hand combat, Jonathan and one. That one goes down. The armor bearer comes along, makes sure the job's done. Jonathan moves on to the next one. Pow, pow, pow. He goes down. The armor bearer, pow, he's gone. He's just as much a part of the battle as Jonathan is. He's just not the one leading. But he's the one that's cleaning up everything, hallelujah, that's going on. He's got his part to play, and he's dedicated to it. Whatever you want to do, Jonathan, I'm right here. I'm with you. I'm for it. Hallelujah. If God's for us, then glory. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Jonathan's armor bearer served with a heart of complete dedication. Glory. Hallelujah. Through the hard times, through the good times, dedicated. Glory. There's going to be hard times and there's going to be good times. A servant's heart will take you through every one of them. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Could I have a piano player? A servant's heart. Hallelujah. We're given a servant's heart at that regeneration, that born-again experience. But it's what we do with it that decides whether we still have it. Because there are so many distractions, so many situations and circumstances where the enemy would love to steal a servant's heart. So many opportunities for self-exaltation. So many opportunities for pride to keep creep in. So many opportunities for self-ambitions. So many opportunities to lead men and women astray. But those that are serious servants of the Lord understand and know that the greatest gift God's ever given to us is a servant's heart. And we guard it with our lives. We guard it against the enemy. We guard it against ourselves. We've got to be very mindful of when arrogancy tries to rise up, of when pride tries to rise up. Hallelujah. See, there's no reason for pride to be in our lives. Because if anything good has been accomplished in our lives, the glory goes to our God. All the good things of my life have come from serving the Lord. Hallelujah. all of his blessings, all of his provisions, all of his help in times of trouble and times of trial. It's because of him, his grace. I just want to make sure that I am that servant of the Lord. Praise be to our God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I praise your holy name. Could we stand together? Could we stand? Hallelujah. Now let's lift our hands and let's lift our voices and let's offer thanksgiving unto God for the servant's heart that he's given us. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord God, for the greatness of your salvation, Lord, and the mighty work, hallelujah, of the Spirit of God in our conversion. Hallelujah. Born again by the Spirit of God, a new creature created, and that new creature is in the image of Christ, and Christ is the perfect servant's heart man. Hallelujah. Lord, so you have given it to us, O Lord God. But, O God, we want to guard it with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our mind. We want to walk humbly before you, God. Hallelujah, Lord, that we might maintain a servant's heart. Lord, that your will can be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven, O God. For truly your grace is abounding and your mercies are being poured out upon us on a continual basis, Lord. But we don't want to take it for granted, oh God. Lord, we want to excel, Lord God. Hallelujah. We want to be great for the kingdom, oh God. Lord, we want to be a servant. A servant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's come around the altars here tonight. Let's close with a time of prayer here. Let's reflect upon this teaching tonight. Let's hear. Let's listen. Oh, for what the Spirit of God is saying unto the church tonight.